Welcome to the Game Changer Unlocked, where we bring you the people and the perspective changing how we lead, live, and perform. I'm your host, Brian Fetzer, and today's guest works with high-level executives, elite performers, and top athletes. But his message starts with something surprisingly simple. I'm human. Rob Kalvarowski is a leadership expert, author of Capitalizing on Chaos, and a TED Talk speaker. Also, a big-time podcast hoster as well, whose work is reshaping how performance and humanity kind of coexist. You know, Rob's journey, it didn't start on the keynote stage. It began as an MIT engineer navigating high-pressure environments, dysfunctional leadership. The experience became the foundation of the human-first leadership model and how he teaches it worldwide. Rob, welcome to the Game Changer Unlocked.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm excited to be here and chop it up with you.
Oh, and the background is not a stage set. It is actually outside your home in Costa Rica, which is the best background ever. I actually, first time I saw it, I thought it was kind of a really nice rendition of a script, but it's awesome.
world's greatest green screen.
It is. Hey, give us a quick origin story from MIT engineer to leadership expert. You know, how did it all kind of happen?
So it wasn't by design. As you mentioned, I'm a mechanical engineer from MIT. And in my first job, I joined a mining company in Western Canada, and I ran smack dab into a destructive leader. And that led me to struggle internally with mental health challenges. And on my healing journey, I started learning not only about myself and psychology, but also what is good leadership. And that led me to make the pivot into leadership coaching, because one is I saw there were so many gaps in where leaders are and the performance that you can get from people if you lead them effectively, but also from a purpose-driven place where I didn't want folks to suffer like I did. And so, yeah, it's been an incredible journey, and I'm excited to coach leaders every day.
Okay, so in plain English, what is your I am human method? And why do those two words kind of shift the team dynamics so fast?
The biggest piece today, Brian, is the chaos that's around us. And we're seeing this in our geopolitical systems, in our economic systems, and even in technology, like with AI. And what that does to our psychology and our brain is it actually puts us in fight or flight mode. And when we're in that stress response, which actually we have four responses, fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, we can't actually access the frontal lobe of our brain, the parts of our brain that are responsible for decision-making, for logic, for emotional regulation. And so we become ineffective leaders. And so when we feel that stress or that fear or that anxiety, just to take a deep breath and just acknowledge I'm human, it allows our brain to come back from that stress response and just relax a little bit. And then we can move on to make better decisions and lead our team more effectively.
So what types of leaders call you first, and kind of what problem are they trying to solve? Are they trying to solve the chaos problem?
Right now, yes. The biggest problem that I solve for folks is really this big feeling of uncertainty on what to do next. And this can either come up as they're responding from tariffs, or they're responding to technology and they're not sure where AI is going to take their business. Mm-hmm. Or even with some clients right now, it's like, how do I get promoted? How do I grow my business through the face of this uncertainty? And so those are the biggest problems that I'm handling right now, is how do we deal with uncertainty? And it always starts with being human, and then it starts with our psychology.
So with that message of, you know, what's an example of what one of those leaders would ask you with talking about AI, because that's such a big part of everything now, it seems like. What would be a question they might ask you about that and their job?
The biggest thing that I notice when folks come to me right now is they feel destabilized. So they're like, I have, you know, competing agendas in my own head, and a part of me wants to pull back from investing. Part of me wants to hold on to the money that I'm generating as my business. But then part of me is going, well, I have this opportunity to scale. And so what do I do?
Makes a lot of sense.
That's really, from an AI perspective, it's like, should I invest in AI? Should I lean into AI? Should I train my team and grow that side of my business? Or should I wait until we find out what is truly driving value with AI? Because again, there's an MIT study that said that 95% of investment in AI is actually not generating results. And so there are competing agendas here. And that's the biggest thing that I help people with, is where do you gain clarity? So then you can choose the best step for you and your business.
Okay, I'm gonna put on the skeptical COO hat. Whoever might be listening, how do you show that this isn't soft stuff? This isn't just fluff, but actual performance work.
Yes, this is so real. And so, I mean, I'm an MIT engineer. I don't deal with soft stuff, right? I need it to have tangible results too.
Right.
And so the biggest thing here, Brian, is this human-centric leadership work is designed to drive employee engagement. And when you engage your people, you get higher profitability, higher productivity, you get less absenteeism. And to really put this into perspective for folks, is high trust companies generate 2-3% higher stock returns per year over a 26-year period. This is tangible, significantly big returns on investment for something that's pretty simple to implement.
I'd say anytime you can show that ROI is going to happen, that gets your CFO kind of fired up about it, and obviously the higher ups. But I know, I'm sure there's got to be CEOs or so forth that are skeptical, that say, you know, fill me in more on why this is going to actually help my business.
So there are some key behaviors here that drive employee engagement. And if we look at just Gallup's reporting, they report that 23% of the American workforce is actually engaged with their role. This means on a team of 100 people, 23 people are actually doing their job at the best of their ability. On the other side of that, wow, that means that 77% of people are either mailing it in or working against your corporate goals. And so if you have problems with not having productivity, with having high turnover, with having people who are struggling to innovate, the reason is because you have 77% of people who aren't doing their best. And to just make some adjustments in your leadership, it will increase your results. You'll get 23% higher profitability. You'll get 18% higher productivity. You'll get 78% less absenteeism. And even to go further is like, happy people are 300% more innovative than their counterparts. And that starts with you as the leader, and you're the only person who can start moving your culture in that way. Otherwise, you're just leaving it up to chance.
Do you have an example of a CEO, CFO, you know, COO that, you know, you approached and they were very skeptical at first, but then afterwards they're like, man, Rob, this crushed you. This was amazing.
Yeah. So I started working with a founder a few years ago, and his business was at $3 million and they had been stuck at $3 million for the last 3 years. And he was working 24/7 to try to scale his business and grow it. And he was working all the time. He would bring his phone on vacation with him. He was burnt out. He was really struggling. And where we went was, in 4 sessions, which was 1 month, he had an insight of, I'm the one holding my business back. He wanted to be the hero. He wanted to be the person who drives the results himself. He was micromanaging his team in moments. And letting go of that need to be the high performer led to him being able to implement the human-centric behaviors that led to engaging his team. And then within 6 months, they 3.5x their business. So they went from a $3 million a year revenue company to they're doing $11 million in 2025.
Everybody would like that. There's no question about it.
I should have charged him more.
I know, right? Well, I mean, I think sometimes getting out of your own way is the first step. I mean, I know personally, you know, you always think that you can get it done better yourself, as opposed to allowing the individuals that you hire and you trust to do their job. So, very simple, but you know, not easy to do for most people, for sure.
It's the most common mindset gap that I see. I really see two very often. One I call the do-it-yourself leader or the DIY leader. This is common for every high-achieving person because we've always learned that in order to succeed, we got to do it ourselves. And so we learned that, hey, if I want it done well, I do it myself. It's faster for me to do it myself than to delegate it to somebody else. I have to pick up the pieces if someone on my team makes a mistake. And that works until it doesn't. When you need your team to engage and do work and innovate and create, you have to get out of their way and turn yourself from the person who does it to the leader. The other one that I see really common is imposter syndrome. And this is leaders who feel like they didn't deserve to be there. They didn't deserve the promotion or the raise or how much money they've raised or their business. And so they get stuck and then in this freeze mode where they're not driving their team's performance. And they're sort of letting others take accountability and responsibility for their business. And this is another huge gap that holds you back from driving success.
Man, Rob, some great information without question. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Up next, we'll get tactical. How Rob walks into real companies and improves culture, trust, and performance. Next up on the Game Changer Unlocked. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. And we are breaking down how human-first leadership translates into real-world performance gains. Organizations often focus on strategy and metrics while ignoring trust and emotional safety. Rob's approach really blends mindset, leadership, behavior, and operational systems. So Rob, you know, first 30 days with a new client. You know, what do you assess and what are some quick wins that you might target?
Yeah, I approach this very much like an engineer. I want to understand what is the client's goal and then what are the, basically, where are we today and what are the gaps that are preventing us from achieving these goals? The biggest, quickest wins, often they come in two places. One is the leader psychology. So sometimes this is things like they're not saying no enough. They're accepting every meeting on the calendar invite. They're not blocking time for important strategic work. They're not focusing on the right things. And then the other thing is just tactical behavior-driven things. And so these can be anything from, are you spending enough time working on sales development, on strategy, on team development? Those are some other things. So I look at it from either the behavior point of view or the psychology point of view, but often where we start is the psychological assessment And then where are folks spending their times? And between those two, we always find quick wins that we can go after.
That's good. So let's talk about the psychology part. Psychology, safety, and action. What does it actually look like in a team meeting when you start talking about the psychology part?
So psychological safety is sometimes misconstrued as this ability for folks to be vulnerable and share their deepest, darkest secrets. It's not that. Mm-hmm. Truly, in a team meeting, what psychological safety looks like is, hey, Brian, I have this idea to fix this problem. What if we tried this solution? And then the ability to try that and to see what we learned and to iterate on that idea. Basically, it's applying continuous improvement or the scientific method on how do we solve problems. That's really what it is.
It's a good way to kind of to frame it for sure. You know, from your TED Talks, you know, what's the safest first step for someone stuck under a bad boss? And I think everybody at some point in time in their life could have say they had a bad boss.
The first step for people here is to ask for support from somebody that's not necessarily your work, right? And so this is a therapist, this is a coach, this is a friend, this is your spouse, this is whatever, right? And you have to understand, and this is the hardest part, is this an environment where you can change and continue to work, or is this an environment that you need to leave, right? And so you have, in the research, they talk about two different types of bosses, basically. There's the actively destructive bosses, and then there's the passively destructive bosses. Folks that fall into the passively destructive are folks that like avoid decisions, they avoid accountability, they're not clear on their instructions. You as the person can actually support and coach your manager on what you need to be successful. If you're running into an actively destructive boss, these are the folks who can make threats, they'll verbally abuse you, they'll deflect blame. These are like abusive or narcissistic folks. These folks will not change. And so they're often the folks that you need to leave those organizations or at least figure out how to get an internal transfer to work for somebody else.
Makes a lot of practical sense, to be honest. you mentioned earlier about scheduling, and it kind of popped in my mind, you know, because I know carving out your own time for certain things is difficult for a boss. How do you get busy leaders to practice self-leadership between sessions?
Yes. That's why I make the tools easy and usable. So for mindset, I have my clients do 1 4-minute exercise every day. This starts off your morning. You're connecting with yourself, the parts of you that you need to work on to achieve your highest goals. That 4 minutes starts your morning off. And then whenever you feel that stress or that fear or that anxiety come up in the day, it's just deep breath in. I'm human. That's it. Everything else is practical leadership behavior that you can implement throughout your schedule.
And so that's how you tie the mindset shifts to measurable outcomes, like retention, delivery, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and it's very simple, right? So let's talk about a client I talked to last week, right? They're an executive, they work at a tech company, they're managing a group of 15 people, and they're responsible for implementing AI across the organization. Mm. Now, this gentleman is trying to get promoted, but he feels that part inside his head, who in his annual performance review in December, he wanted to get promoted, but he never asked his manager, how do I actually go and get promoted? What do you need me to do? And so he prevented that aspect from happening. Now, if he can use those 4-minute exercise, he can then start to go, okay, now I'm going to ask my boss, what are the steps I need to make to get promoted and start taking actions towards those. And we can build in that accountability system. But it starts with you getting out of your own way first.
it's funny to hear somebody say that, but it's so true. And you see it all the time.
Everybody out there, Brian, you, me, everybody watching, I can guarantee that you can think of at least one, but probably a bunch of moments where you wanted to ask for that raise, you wanted to ask for that promotion, you wanted to apply for that job, you wanted to do that TED Talk, you wanted to write that book, you wanted to ask that person on a date, and right. you stopped yourself from doing that.
Right.
Those are the moments where you're getting in your own way, and it's normal. You're human. So the next time that comes up for you is just take that deep breath, say I'm human, and then take that step. That's how you're going to succeed.
Yeah, see, listeners, you had no idea you were going to get dating advice, you know, watching this show. You had no idea.
Ask that person out. Let's go.
Absolutely. You know, go pop the question for you guys that are kind of sitting back waiting. So for teams facing uncertainty, what's a three-step weekly rhythm leaders can run?
So the biggest thing here, right, is back to this element of the uncertainty. And so I always recommend folks use the I'm human method, both for yourself, but also in a team environment. And so this can be stuff like when I'm feeling stressed out, let's say a client calls me and just said, I'm canceling our contract, I'm feeling bad. And now I'm sitting here, Brian comes into my office. I can say to Brian, hey, Brian, I'm human. And then Brian knows to respond with, well, what do you need? Or maybe can I come back in 5 minutes? Whatever that is. So that's something that you can take into this practical world. The other side of that is also, if Brian walks into my office and he sees me stressed out, and maybe I'm not aware of it, he can say to me, Rob, you're human. Obviously, as a team, you can make this your own. So I taught this tool to a Fortune 500 tech company in August, and they said to me, we're not using I'm human, we're going to say Cheesecake Factory. And so you can implement this however you want.
Hey, you know what? It could be a word. It kind of sets the tone. I know from years of coaching experience, there's certain words that are easy for individuals to kind of respond to. And so maybe Cheesecake Factory is that. It's definitely a little unique for sure.
It's about implementation, right? And I'm not going to tell you how to implement it on your own team. You need to make this a culture fit for you. And so for some folks, I'm human feels too vulnerable. It feels too soft. It feels too something. Then pick a word that makes sense. Because ultimately, it's more about doing it than it is about talking about it.
That's some good advice, for sure. Hey, coming up, we're going to tackle one of the biggest issues in business today. Burnout, bad bosses, and why people are really leaving the job that they're in. Up next on the Game Changer Unlocked. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. Let's talk about something almost every organization is facing: turnover, burnout, leadership breakdowns. High turnover often stems from leadership behavior, not workload. Retention improves when people feel valued, safe, and heard. Rob, are people entitled or just burned out?
Honestly, Brian, today, it's burnout. And the reason is there's so much uncertainty in the world. There's so much chaos. And it's not just me saying this. The World Uncertainty Index is a measure of how many times the word uncertain or uncertainty is used in government documents around the world. And since the height of the pandemic, so the highest point of uncertainty during the pandemic, which was around 2021, to today, we are 87% higher today. And another comparison is since the fall of 2024, we are 330% more chaotic today. And everybody is feeling that. And it feels that stress. It feels that uncertainty. And so it's totally natural that we're feeling that stress and anxiety, and that's leading us to feeling burnt out. And it's that feeling of not having control over our environment, of our lives. And that's where it's rippling into work. And management can absolutely impact this, because higher engaged cultures have 78% less absenteeism. And even there was a study that came out a few weeks ago that a perceived small slight leads to 50% increased employee absenteeism and a reduction of 2 working hours in the following month. And so this was just a study that looked at a manager missing somebody's birthday by 1 day, and that led to 2 working hours lost. And so it's a cost that you just can't afford to lose in this market.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So we touched on it a little bit ago, but I want to kind of come back to it because I think it's so prevalent. You know, what can employees do when they're stuck under a bad boss?
The biggest thing is the internal work first. And so I always talk about self-leadership, because we all have the bad bosses inside our own heads. And so these bad bosses are the ones that tell us that we're not good enough, that we should be working harder, that we don't look good enough, or we're all of the things that we hear inside our own heads. And if we can start to learn to give ourselves the compassion that we would give to somebody else, this is where we can show up more effectively. When we're talking about bad leaders, it's really about understanding, and it comes back to where we were, is like, is this something that they are deliberately attacking us, or is it something that we're either misperceiving, or it's something that they're unaware of? And once we start to lean inwards here, often the problems externally become far easier to solve.
So what can executive teams do to prevent the burnout? I mean, taking it from a different side, right? You're going from an employer to the executive teams. What can executive teams do to prevent burnout and turnover?
The first thing is understanding and starting to implement the behaviors that lead to a highly engaged team. It's very simple. Gallup reports these behaviors. The first thing is having a caring manager. Now, of course, if you're an executive, you need to get yourself out of the fight or flight stress response in order to care about your people. Wow. But once you do that, it's simple. Caring about people is just showing up. It's effectively moving from a number on a spreadsheet to feeling the person. Then it's focusing on things like developing your people, giving them purpose and meaning to their roles, giving them feedback so they can improve, and then leaning into their strengths. Those are very easy behaviors that can be implemented literally in like a 15-minute one-on-one per week, which engages your people, leads to less turnover, and also will increase profits, innovation, and everything that you need in today's marketplace.
Such simple, but very practical advice. I think sometimes we get caught up in trying to do something that's over the top, or we're thinking about, you know, these grandiose ways of doing things. And really, it's just communication. And it's just allowing somebody to have a, understand that you care about them, which sadly we get too wrapped up in the ROI and get wrapped up in everything else. And we kind of let that just kind of go over. Did you think so? Same thing?
So I 100% agree with you, Brian. And I used to be this too, right? I'm an engineer. I was trained to shove down my emotions as an athlete and push through pain and do it all, right? But then I learned my best coaches were the people who I knew cared about me, and they also coached me hard. And these are not one or the other. I'm not standing here going, be an empathetic leader, let your team slack off and do these things. These are one of the same. If you care about your people, you can hold them to high expectations and they will deliver because they will go that extra mile for you. That's the only way you can succeed in today's chaotic marketplace.
Wow. It's amazing stuff. Hey, I want to go back. We talked about AI earlier, and I want to kind of go back to AI because it's everywhere now. And you hardly go a moment without somebody mentioning it or talking about it. Where does it help in leadership? And where is human judgment still the essential part of it?
So AI, we have to understand that it's not actually thinking, right? At this point, what it's doing is it's predicting something that we want and it's taking the highest probability. So it does not have feelings. It does not have thoughts. It does not have ethics or behaviors or anything like this. And so if we're just focusing on engagement driving behaviors, having a caring manager is one thing, right? We can't replicate that with AI, at least at this point. And so if you want to engage your people, yes, you can use AI to remind you, hey, Rob, it's Brian's birthday, send him a note, right? Or, hey, Brian likes, you know, he likes dogs. And so remember, you can send him a cool dog meme, right? Like this helps us. It also helps us in things like, you know, writing emails or, you know, running a sales funnel. But ultimately, we have to show up and be empathetic and care about our people. And that's the only way to engage them. And that gets you all of those results that we talked about earlier in higher productivity, profitability, lower engagement, higher safety, and even folks feel better and their wellness goes up.
If your wellness goes up, that's going to make you feel a whole lot better. You're going to be a lot more apt to do a little extra, and your mood just changes tremendously, for sure. So from sports to business, okay, I want to shift a little bit. One elite team routine that companies should kind of put into practice, and I bring that up because you mentioned, you know, the emails and, you know, remembering birthdays and those kind of things. Does that fall into it? Is that what we're talking about, or is there something else?
The biggest thing that people don't do in business that they do in sports is feedback. Hmm. You know this, Brian, as an athlete. Every single practice that you went to, you got feedback on something.
Right.
Right. And you got it immediately, whether it's you're running incorrectly, you're throwing the ball wrong, your swim stroke is a little bit off, you should have passed the ball over here instead of over there. Like you got that feedback instantaneously and every single time. In business, we don't give feedback often enough. Huh. And we don't give good feedback either. And so there's a stat that says 50% of people haven't received a positive comment about their work in a year.
Wow.
That's a huge problem. Because those people go, my work doesn't matter. I don't matter. And then what effort are they going to give you when you're asking them to deliver more? Small things, feedback in the moment, keep it process-centric, and acknowledge your people for going that next level for you. That's what's going to help them lean in and get you those results that you want.
Man, that's awesome. You've shared so much very practical information, but a lot of things that we overlook. How can somebody reach out and find out more about what you do and figure out chaos a little bit?
If you want to figure out chaos, my book is out, Capitalizing on Chaos. So you can buy that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The audiobook's out everywhere as well. And then for me, best place to find me, you can find me on LinkedIn, Rob Kalvarowski, or my website, robkalvarowski.com. I do one-on-one coaching. I do team coaching. I do keynotes. And I will absolutely help you capitalize on this one critical moment in time, because chaos is not getting any better. It's only going to get worse from here. And so if you don't know how to capitalize on it today, your competitors are taking your market share from you.
Hey, up next, Rob Kavarowski and myself, we're going to take a little closer look with leadership identity, that shift that every high performer must make. Right after this commercial break, we'll be back with the Game Changer Unlocked. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. In this final segment, we are going to explore the deeper relationship shift Rob teaches, moving from perfection and control to presence and humanity. And I'm really excited, Rob, to get into this. So what's the hardest mindset shift leaders must make today?
The hardest mindset shift is to realize that you don't have to do it all yourself. This is something that so many of us learn is, and it leaves us feeling alone. It leaves us feeling resentment, feeling stress, feeling anxiety, feeling like we're the ones holding up the world. And that pressure is what leads us to burning out, to anxiety, to stress, to depression, and to ultimately not getting the results that you want to get. And so, the first thing is to realize that as a leader, nobody expects you to know everything and nobody expects you to do everything. Once you get over that mental hurdle, that's when you can start more effectively leading your team, delegating, coaching them, and that's where all the results come from.
You said doing it yourself, and it triggered a thought in my mind. We're both a part of the group called The Real. And when they say like doing it together and having other individuals that kind of do things together, what is that mindset? You know, when I throw that out to you, what does that kind of look like for you?
So this is just like any sport, right? Like, like Tom Brady a number of years ago, he said that he couldn't even play high school football at any other position than the quarterback. And he's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And so when you're on a team at work, you are the quarterback. You right. do your role
right.
and everybody else does their role. The center will be the guy who snaps you the ball and blocks. The wide receiver is the guy who runs the routes and catches the ball. Right? Everybody does their role at the best of their ability, and you all work together towards that common goal. That's how you have success. It's not me trying to do it all myself. And that's the biggest pivot that leaders need to make, because all of you start out as really high-level individual contributors, and then you have to make that leap. And this is also what holds the founders back from founders who stop scaling their company and kind of like either have that kind of brick wall moment of being, 25 or 50 people, or even the ones that get fired by their investors, to the ones who scale their businesses to 500,000 and make the money, is the folks that can realize, I don't have to be the guy who does everything anymore. I am now the leader. I set the vision, I coach people, I empower them, and I create the systems where they can thrive within it.
And within leaders, how can leaders, because vulnerability is something that, as men, we don't like to being vulnerable. I mean, that's just being honest, that's being real. How can a leader model vulnerability without actually losing authority?
Vulnerability here, we have to be very aware of what it is. This is not oversharing, right? This is also not being open without having a container and understanding who am I sharing with. This is why people hire me, right? Is if you're a founder of a company and you're stressed about your payroll, you're stressed about your investors, you're stressed about the direction of your company, do not say that to your people. That's why you hire somebody like me, you hire a therapist, you hire another coach. So then we can help you in those moments where things feel like they're too much, right? However, when we're being vulnerable with our team, what that needs to look like is I don't necessarily have all the answers. I don't necessarily have to be the person who understands everything in my whole business, right? And so it's like if someone asks me a question, hey, Rob, how do you implement AI? I can say to my team, I don't know the answer. Like, let's figure that out together, right? And it's putting the problem-solving hat on. I don't want you to go out and overshare with your team. Understand why are you sharing and what you're going to share before you go out and do it.
So one thing that comes to mind is as a leader thinks, hey, I'm going to share stuff. So saying like, I'm human, you know, it's unlocking performance, but instead they might think, is it lowering standards? Because I could see that being something somebody could think per se.
So if you show you care to your people, you can hold them to a higher standard than if you don't. This is because
it's an easy way to say it, right?
Yeah. And so I had a call with a founder last week, and he comes from the sales background. He used to be this incredibly high sales performer. He was selling million-dollar deals, and now he's leading a sales team for the organization that he helped co-found. And he was struggling with setting clear expectations for his team. He wasn't saying things that he expected from them. And I said to him, I said, hey, if you don't tell them what you expect, how are they supposed to know? And his thought process was, I want them to know that they need to respond to the clients within 24 hours. But if you're not telling them that, if you're saying it in a way like, how can I help you respond to this client? They're not going to be aware. And what happens is the person on the other side of your conversation, they don't know what you're expecting. So they underperform, and you're building resentment and you're not being clear with them. But if you just say, hey, I expect you to respond to the client within 24 hours, they know that, they can do it. You can give them positive feedback. Everybody wins. People love goals. They love clear expectations because then they know how to hit them and they can win. Everybody likes to win.
That's, again, to me, it seems like common knowledge on a lot of things, but I think for a lot of people, it's just not. And I guess, I don't know. It's awesome when you say it in a very practical way, because that's the way people got to think, right?
It's common knowledge, but we get in our own way.
Yeah.
So that gentleman, right? He felt like internally, if he was going to say something like, I expect you to reply to the client within 24 hours, that the other person would be offended by that or get hurt, right? When in reality, it's not actually how it works. When you go from being a messy leader or a ghost leader to becoming somebody who sets clear expectations and holds people accountable, people actually like you even more. Mm. This I say this both from the research proves this, but also I did this with a team last year where I took a team where the manager didn't believe he should have been the leader. He was tiptoeing around expectations. And once you set clear expectations, KPIs, metrics, and started working with his team in one-on-ones to hold them accountable, people got happier. They performed better. This is research-backed, but it's also practical.
Hey, let's wrap up on this. What's one sentence every leader should say this week?
I'm human.
And what's an action they can back it up with?
Yeah. Anytime you feel that stress, or that anxiety or that fear, whether that's you want to ask for something, whether that's you feel like, you know, the chaos is getting to you, to say that I'm human to yourself and acknowledge that you're normal and that everything's good and let that reduce your stress just a little bit, that's where you can take that step that you know you need to take inside, but there's a part of you saying, don't do it. So say I'm human, acknowledge it, and take that step that you want to.
Love it. Rob, this has been powerful. Where can people follow your work and continue to hearing from you?
Absolutely, folks. So the best place to find me is buy a copy of my best-selling book, Capitalizing on Chaos. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible, everywhere you get audiobooks. It's there. And then for me, find my website, robcalvaroski.com. I help leaders one-on-one in group settings and keynotes for events. So you can find out all the information there. And for social media, you can follow me on LinkedIn, Rob Calvaroski.
Rob, thank you for showing us how leadership isn't about perfection. It's about connection. Today, we learned that performance improves when people feel safe, seen, and human. To every leader watching, strength isn't about hiding emotion. It's about leading with clarity, courage, and care. This is the Game Changer Unlocked. I'm Brian Fetzer. We'll see you next time. Be blessed.